It's Paul Ross, and welcome to Subtle Words for Super Sales. We're about to learn together 10 incredible words and phrases that are guaranteed to skyrocket your sales success, and I mean right now. I'm really, really excited about this. If you use only two or three of these, you're going to see mad, crazy increases in your bottom line numbers, and that's what we're here for. So let's jump in. So what are you going to learn? Well, we're going to learn some key principles of subtle selling. These will allow you to instantly bypass the conscious processing of your prospects, and it will trigger their unconscious decisions to buy and feel great about it. You're going to learn the one mistake you must avoid at all costs if you ever want to be a super salesperson. And then, of course, we're going to learn the 10 subtle words and phrases that are easy. They're fun. We're going to put the fun back into selling for you and guaranteed to turbocharge your bottom line sales results. As I said, this stuff is ridiculously powerful. If you use two or three of these things, you're going to see amazing results. So let's get to the key subtle rules for super sales mastery. Rule number one, I want you to tattoo this on the inside of your eyelids. You're never selling your product or service. You're always selling decisions and good feelings about decisions. Unless you've got a monopoly on something like cold fusion or teleportation or anti-gravity, essentially what you're selling, one form or another, is a commodity. Even if it's unique and innovative, someone's going to come along and knock you off. So I also want you to note that decisions without good feelings bring buyer's remorse, along with possible frying on Yelp. And all it takes is one bad review to outweigh the power of 10 good ones. So decisions with good feelings bring referrals and repeat business. So here's an axiom in marketing and in business. I learned this 30 years ago. The most expensive thing you can do is to acquire a customer or client, and the second most expensive is to lose them. And if you like formulas, because you may be a math wizard or a math geek, good decisions times good feelings equal referrals. Referrals times repeat business equals big fat bucks in your bank account. So I've expressed it as an equation, GD times GF equal R times R equal dollar, 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 dollar. Here's rule number two. Selling is not about forcing choices or ideas. Rather, it's about the following things. And again, this is my model. Everyone's going to have different definitions. This is just my map that's worked for me and thousands of my students and trainees. Number one, selling is about triggering your prospects' own unconscious and habitual buying processes. So the basic idea there is everyone already has an unconscious process for buying, whatever that is. If you can trigger it, then essentially the prospect will convince themselves to do the actions, to do the buying, signing the check or the contract on their own for their own reasons. Fun thing is you never even have to know what those are. Next definition, expanding your prospect's mind to include new choices and possibilities they didn't think they could enjoy or deserve. And finally, interrupting your prospect's self-doubt, stalling, and excuses to clear the path for their buying decision. And again, your prospects are not coming to you usually loaded with rationality, and high self-esteeming, and eager to buy. Sometimes they are. They're walkovers, as they say. But usually they're not. Here's rule number three. When you get them to fill in the blanks and picture the outcomes that appeal to them, not that make appeal to them, get them to fill in the blanks and picture the outcomes that appeal to them. So as far as possible, get your prospects to imagine their own answers and outcomes before you give them facts, data, and figures. You get your prospects to fill in the blanks and imagine their own reasons for buying. Indeed, if possible, get themselves picturing already enjoying the benefits. We're going to unpack for you exact ways to do that. I want you to understand the principles before I show you the techniques. So when you do this, not only will they buy with little resistance, but they will perceive you as a trusted and trustworthy authority and leader within minutes of the first conversation. I want you to think about that. Within the first few minutes of that first conversation. So here are the 10 super selling subtle words and phrases. Invite, or its alternative, encourage, share, we, together, explore, I don't know, stop, imagine, picture, and find yourself. Now, these don't have to be used in any particular order. I just put them out here. There's no particular order to them, but here they are again. Invite, share, we, together, explore, I don't know, stop, imagine, picture, find yourself. So let me show you how this would work. And the context here is at the start of our presentation. Let's look at the traditional way of languaging the introduction of a marketing presentation. This is typically what you'd hear. Before I present this to you today, I want you to please ask any questions that come up for you. This is pretty typical with some variations. Maybe the person will get up, make a few jokes, introduce themselves, and then they'll say something pretty close to this or equivalent to it. So I want to say yuck, because the way this is worded, we're doing something to our prospects, not with them. To use a metaphor, we're on the other side of the table, and we're trying to bring them onto our side. Plus, they're probably already starting to go to sleep, because this is sort of an indication, oh, presentation. I want you to insert, see what happens as we insert the subtle word invite. Before I present this to you today, I want to invite or encourage those who can use equally. You can substitute one for that. I like the word invite. Before I present this to you today, I want to invite you to please ask any questions that come up. So how clearly now do you perceive the difference? Invitation implies an offer of something of value. An implication is powerful over and over and over. You will hear me repeat. Implication is powerful. But again, to invite implies that you're offering something of value. It's subtle, but this is subtle words itself. And again, we can substitute the word encourage, because this is a word that gives strong permission and momentum towards the desired response. To encourage someone is to give them momentum, give them permission, give them assistance. Let's add our next word, share. Before I share this with you today, I want to invite you to please ask any questions that come up for you. So the word share implies a relationship of know, like, and trust. Why is that? Well, we don't share with people who are strangers, who aren't trustworthy or likable. See, you are getting know, like, and trust, normally an arduous process that takes time. You have to build rapport, have these conversations, blah, 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 blah. No, you can do it with one word, one word. Let's go over the phrase again. Before I share this with you today, I want to invite you to please ask any questions that come up for you. So now we're using two of the power words, share and invite. You see how these build one upon the other. Now, I call share an implied relationship word, like our next two words I'm about to reveal to you. Check this out. Share also implies you're offering something of value, as I said. It's what I would call a valuable activity word. So it not only implies a relationship, but it implies that you're about to enter into a valuable activity. And through the principle of reciprocity, the listener unconsciously believes they owe you something, namely their trust and close attention. So we're building on that trust that we're creating with this one word, share. Share implies relationship, because we don't share with people we don't know, like, and trust. And also, well, you're sharing. When you share, it's implied that you're sharing something of value. So it's a superpowered word. Now, do you think we can improve this and make it even more irresistibly powerful? Well, you're wrong. Let's introduce our next two words, we and together. And like share, these are what I call implied relationship words. So here we go. Before we share this together today, I want to invite you to please ask any questions that come up for you. So now we're really implanting the idea that the prospect shares a bond of a trusting relationship with us. We're on the same side of the table, so to speak, and this is in the first minute. You can use this in the first minute of your presentation or your marketing presentation or your talk or your speech or your presentation before the board of directors or your pitch or whatever it is. You can even use this in an online video or written copy. So before we share this together today, I want to invite you to please ask any questions that come up for you. We're actually using four words, we, share, together, and invite. So we're really on the same side of the table and you're getting this. And how many words is here? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18. Somewhere around 20 words. So do you have to match posture and mirror breathing and do the rest of that, sensory predicates? No, you use the right words. Let's do this from a different angle as we introduce the next power words and phrases. Let's say you hear this common objection or this common snotty question. It's not quite an objection, but it's a sort of snotty question. Why should I hire you or why should I hire your firm? Now, here's the wrong way. The default response is to give facts, data, figures, information, explanation, to take the path of giving that person reasons why they should do you the favor of granting you their business. So I'm exaggerating here and being comedical, humorous, but well, Joe, we've been in business since before the invention of fire, have 10 gazillion happy customers like you, and have increased portfolio value for all of them by divinely infinite levels. I'm being funny here, but you see the kind of thing that's going on. It's giving reasons, facts, data, figures. Let's fix it. We're going to mix it up with the following words and phrases. I don't know, stop, and imagine. And for imagine, you can substitute in the word picture, but I like the word imagine. And we're going to get laser about it. I don't know is what I call a false profession of ignorance. What does a false profession of ignorance do? Well, it removes any perception that we're trying to convince, put in parentheses, beg, our prospect. And it also removes any perception that we are a know-it-all. Equally important, it implies that on some level, they know their reasons to hire us or buy from us or sign the contract, etc. Let me unpack it for you and show you it in action. And by the way, how powerfully are you now beginning to easily see how important implying thoughts can be? Next word is stop. Stop creates what I call a mind stutter. It will literally, when used correctly, get your prospect to one, cease their prior resistant train of thought, two, open themselves to the chain of commands and suggestions you're about to deliver. Finally, imagine or picture. And these words trigger the prospect's unconscious search mechanisms. In some ways, I know this is a vast oversimplification. They induce a light state of trance as they trigger the right brain, and they tend to silence the critical left brain. I understand this is a vast oversimplification, but you get the general idea. So here we go. The person says, why should I hire you or why should I sign up with your firm? Well, Joe, before we explore that together, you see those words, we and together and explore? Before we explore that together, I don't know in what ways you might stop. And imagine your own answers to that question. I just want to invite you to feel free to share the most important things you're looking for in someone you want on your team. Self-point. Point to yourself. Let's go through that because it's a big mouthful and you're not saying anything specific. Well, Joe, before we explore that together, what is that? We and together, those are what? Implied relationship words. Explore is a valuable activity word. Before we explore that together, I don't know in what ways you might stop. And imagine your own answers to that question. I just want to invite you to feel free to share the most important things you're looking for in someone you want on your team. And then, of course, you're very, very subtly pointing to yourself. You're giving the suggestion that you're that someone. You see how vague this is? Now, I understand and realize as you first go through this, it may seem like, wait a minute, you might have thought, I can't speak this way. You might think that. But in reality, if you were to stop and extend an invitation to yourself to let that doubt melt away, I'm not sure in what ways a sense of growing curiosity might occur to you. But as it's taking place, let's move to the next slide. let's really get it on with the super powerful phrase, find yourself. What does it mean to find yourself doing something? Did you ever just find yourself reaching for that refrigerator door and indeed find yourself with your head in the door? Did you ever just find yourself in love? Find yourself implies that something is going on without your need to make it happen and without the possibility of your resistance. So there's no active participation on your part required, and there's no resistance that can work. And this happens, this happens all the time. Well, Joe, I don't know how you might stop and find yourself wanting to move ahead with me today. You notice the presupposition is Joe is going to find himself wanting to move ahead today. It's just a question of you don't know how that's going to take place. I would just invite you to feel free to share the most important things you're looking for in someone you want on your team. You understand? See how you're giving them permission? Feel free to share. There's that implied relationship word. So I hope you've enjoyed this presentation. I want to invite you, as you think to yourself, I'd like to really get to even more value from Paul. If you would like to work with me, I have to say you have to open a pretty big checkbook to do that. I am the most expensive trainer and coach that you can't wait to hire. But you can apply to do so. I only have a few slots at any given time. They open up from now and again. And there are three things that would make you someone that I may not want to work with, and I'm not trying to be snotty here. This is just three things that would disqualify a person. Number one is you're not willing to do the work. Don't get me wrong. This stuff is incredibly powerful. You can see results very, very quickly, and it gets very easy. But in the beginning, you have to retrain your mind to think about selling in a completely different way. So if you're not willing to do some work, probably not a good match. Number two, if you're not a little smarter than the average bear, you don't have to be a genius to grasp this, but as you can see, it's pretty heady, and it takes a bright mind. And third, if you're not able to set aside your old ways of thinking, this is stuff that's not off the shelf. It is a pretty unique, even bat leap crazy way of looking at sales. So you have to set that all aside. But if you think that you can do that, go ahead and apply. I do look at every application, and if I have slots and if I think we make a good fit, I will contact you personally through email. Thanks much.